A little bit of rain. Thank you, Lord. We love to see that rain coming down yesterday. Let's go ahead and get started here. And I want to say something. If you have a prayer request, if you will stop by the table as you come into class, this clipboard is always laying on the table. And if you have one that you would like for the church to put on the list, just put it on this clipboard and we'll make sure it gets on the list for the next week. So with that being said, y'all remember that. And we're going to talk a little bit this morning about the prayer list. We have got several that's been on here for a while. And I do want to ask you this morning to continue to remember Preacher Lasley. He's Friday a week ago, he had to go to the hospital with his vertigo, and he is still suffering with it. He said this morning that he just can't seem to get rid of it, so he's basically for a week, 10 days now, he's been dizzy, and so this makes it really hard on him, Ms. Lasley, on doing the things that they can do and want to do. So y'all remember him. And then also found out this morning that our teacher, Philip, is going to have some hand surgery here on 8/7. So just pray for him as he has that surgery. And just ask the Lord to let that be a success. And, of course, many of you came through and saw Brother John Young this morning. He fell yesterday and broke his wrist on the same hand that he had surgery on his arm. So pray for Brother John. Every time he gets up, he falls down, it seems like another time. So y'all help just pray for him. Ask the Lord to help him in this time. I'm going to go over a few of these that we normally talk about, mainly the cancer folks that are suffering. I was talking with Brother Harrison over there a minute ago, and chemo is a hard thing. And this chemo that seemingly does good, it still takes you through a rough time, so let's remember all of the folks that are fighting with cancer and Mr. Harrison too. And Debbie Deacons couldn't be with us this morning. Her numbers are down again. So y'all remember Debbie. And of course, we're keeping all these others in our prayer. I noticed Lynn Anderson. I had one of those moments. Lynn was here this morning, and he's been doing pretty good for the last little while. Also, I talked with Miss Bear out there, and she says that Barney is doing good, but he's just weak. And so remember them in prayer, and also Sharon Harmon. And there's others that I'm sure that I'll miss. Leslie Farmer. You know, Leslie you would never know she's sick. Her demeanor and her attitude is just wonderful. And God has given her that. That don't come from us as human beings. God has to give you that. Yes, yes. So we thank the Lord for that. And that where the Bible says that we get that peace that's beyond our understanding. And you think sometimes, Lord, if I was going through these things, I would be all to pieces. Well, God gives you a peace that you can't explain. And Leslie's just she's a beacon just to look at her, always smiling and always positive. So remember her, and then we'll pray for the others that's on the list also. Judy Martin's sister, Violet, and Bob Daniels. I talked with John a little bit this morning. He said that Sheila is not doing very well. Okay. Okay. It's really working on her. And so let's remember all of these. And if you would, please look over this prayer list. And when you make your prayers each day to the Lord, remember to call these names out to Him. God is good. He's faithful. And He will do things that is impossible for man to do. So anyway, remember the Galleons in the going home of Brother Larry. And we just pray that they'll have peace and, you know, just keep them in before the Lord. And this is hard time. Most of us in here have lost a parent or our parents, and we know how this is. So, okay, do we have any new prayer requests this morning, either by unspoken or unspoken? Okay, Brother Harrison. Okay, remember Brother Harrison's PET scan coming up. Okay, someone else back here. Nancy? Okay, a word of praise. Yep, God's answered prayer. We thank Him for that. Okay, anyone else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll let Brother Philip get on with the lesson. Father, we do thank You today for Your love, and we thank You for the promises that You faithfully have given and You faithfully keep. And Lord, many times in our lives, Lord, we fail to trust You like we should. And God, we grow weak in those times. But Lord, when we hear a praise like we heard this morning, You're still on the throne. You're still answering prayer. And God, we're seeing results from people that are sick. And God, we just thank You for that. And Lord, thank You for blessing our church. God, there's folks that are coming today that we didn't know 5 years ago. And Lord, we thank You for that. We thank You for blessing our pastor, Lord, giving him the strength and the help to minister to us and to minister to others as he's out there in the community. And Lord, we just pray that You'll bless him now. And God, we pray that You'll bless the Sunday school all over this church this morning. God, You'll be with each teacher that's standing. And Father, we thank You so much again for Your blessings to us. And Lord, pray that this week will be a time that we may have somewhere put in front of us to tell somebody about Jesus. And Lord, pray for this one on our list, Lord, that was listed as being lost, needing a Savior, and pray that You'll work in Mr. Dennison's heart. Thank You again for loving us, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
See, but because I don't know exactly what my outcome will be, pain or whatever, I'm going to ask the pastor to have somebody ready to teach the class that Sunday. And I may be here sitting with you. If he's going to have somebody prepare, I want him to minister to us, so I might be sitting out there with you, or if there's complications or pain that I can't deal with, then I'll stay home and moan and groan.
They've got some good
meds. Anyway, if you would use that prayer request, this is going out on Tuesday in your email now, and all the updates will be on there. If you have this sheet, what you have is last week's prayer requests, and so they become a little stale. Most of the time when people want prayer, they want it right now, amen? And so we need to pray when people are burdened. And so if you check your email, you'll get an update, and you can pray more timely. Now I'm going to go through several verses, passages today. So if you've got three fingers, put them in three different spots. Mark chapter 4, verse 37. And I'm going to read each one of these, and we're going to go back and look at some things in each one of these. Luke chapter 8 and verse 23. And Matthew chapter 8 and verse 24. And you'll see that this is the account of the disciples in a storm, but instead of Jesus not being in the boat, walking to them, he's in the boat asleep in the hinder part. So let's look at it. So Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, and Matthew chapter 8. First in Mark chapter 4 and verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So you try to get the picture of this in your mind, what's going on in this little scene. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now Luke 8, if your finger is there. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. I assume that means of going under. They were in jeopardy. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And now, Matthew chapter 8, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, if you can picture this in your mind, and if you've had any experience at all in boats, this was a violent storm, a tempest, and so much so that the waves were large enough to where they were crashing into the boat, it said, and it was filling the boat up, so I guess they were bailing as much as they could, but couldn't keep up with it, and they were in jeopardy. So this is a tremendous storm. And if you've never been in a boat, you might not understand this. My dad took us, when we were teenagers, deep sea fishing, and we were out far enough to where we couldn't see the land. I was a young boy, so I don't know how far that is. But the waves were not like this. I mean, like this, where I was going to lose my lunch. And if I wasn't careful, I was going to lose my seat. In this kind of sea, you hang on, right? I mean, especially the further away you get from the center line, he was in the hinder part. That stern can heave, right? So you might wonder, how in the world, sound asleep, did he stay in that boat and not get knocked all over the place. There is a verse in Psalm chapter 91. And if you want to turn there, you can, but I want to read it because this applies specifically to our Savior. Psalm chapter 91 and verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence, disease, that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he hath given his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion, the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. So this is that passage, by the way, that the devil tempted our Savior with in the wilderness. You remember, right? He took him to the top of the temple and he said, he quoted this verse and he said, cast yourself down. And the Lord said, our Lord said, you know, it's not right to tempt God. For him to take this verse, by the way, this verse, this passage applies to our Savior. This was a promise for him. None of us could say that. We have been sick. That pestilence that walks in the nighttime has found us, right? And by the way, has anybody ever stubbed a toe? But I think I have. Have you ever, if you ever worked with tools or a hammer, have you ever hit your thumb? You know, it hurts. And our Savior never stubbed a toe. He was divinely protected. His body was. And the reason is because he was the Lamb of God. And it says in the Old Testament that they were to take out from the flock or from the herd a ram or a lamb or a bullock. And what did it say of those offerings? They must be without blemish. Our Savior's body had no blemish. He never stubbed a toe. He never hit his nail, his thumb, with a hammer. The saw never got out of whack, and like it has with you and me, and we've cut ourselves. His body was without blemish because God protected it because it must be perfect. He was that perfect, unblemished Lamb of God that would be offered for you and me. And for him to take that verse under the urging of Satan to do what he did would have been what? To make God his servant and him not the servant. For you and I to take a promise and act foolishly based on that promise and expect God to take care of us is to make God our servant, right? You said you would do this, you've got to do it. That's not how we do the promises of God at all, amen? And for him to have followed the devil's direction or whatever, temptation, he would have been making himself the master and God the servant, his father's servant, and that would have been totally wrong. So, our Savior, maybe you've wondered about this, and I have too, our Savior was divinely protected in this situation. God was looking after him. I don't know if there were angels there holding him down. All I know is he had given charge to his angels, and he was going to protect that body until it was offered for a sacrifice for you and me. Now, let's look at some things, other things in this passage. Notice, if you would, in Mark chapter 4, it says in verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a master, and they awake him and say unto him, Master. Now, each one of these is, well, I'll look at it. In my Strong's dictionary, it says that this means teacher. an instructor. If you look in Luke chapter 8 and verse 38, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master. This is an entirely different word. This is a didaskalos. And this means, In Luke 8, it says, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Now I'll give you the Strong's definition of this. Any sort of superintendent or overseer. So the first group of guys that came back, and there's three groups of people here. The first group of guys that came back and had interaction with Jesus recognized him as a teacher, an instructor. These guys recognize him as a superintendent or an overseer. But in Matthew chapter 8, we see in verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord. Now they had an entirely different apprehension of who our Savior was. And this is very important, because how you react in a storm is going to be dependent upon your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so these guys, this word means absolute ruler, someone who is in control of the situation. So we see these three groups of men coming back to him with different apprehensions of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now let's notice how they're going to respond. Go back to Mark chapter 4. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, saying, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, folks, this isn't a prayer. This is an accusation. They're upbraiding the Lord. This is that kind of Christian that in trouble gets angry. Think about that for a second. They're upset. This is the angry man. Notice with me also the other group in Luke 8. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Do you see a prayer there? No prayer whatsoever. This is that kind of Christian that can recognize the problem, but doesn't pray about the problem. Amen? Notice with me in Matthew chapter 8, he says in verse 25, this group of men and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Isn't that amazing? Do you know that we hear out in the world, the trials make the man. But do you know what? The trials reveal the man too. It's good that we go into trials, is it not? Now, we don't want to be in them by any means. And we're to pray, Lord, deliver us not into temptation, into trials. Nobody wants to be in them. But when we get in them, and we can't avoid them all the time, amen? James chapter 1, when you fall into divers temptations, they're all around us, and we fall into them. So we can't avoid them all. But as we see here, it reveals the kind of Christian we are. And that's good, isn't it? It's not until we get into trials that we really know, are we walking in the faith or not? Do we really have that confidence in God? It tries us, doesn't it? Like it says in James 1, but let patience have her perfect work, that the trying of your faith, that's a good thing. We need it to be tried. Patty and I went through here just recently some great trials. it created great fear in us. Folks, that's not wrong. The disciples in the boat, even the ones that were praying, were afraid. Amen? And it's not wrong to be afraid. It's what we do in our fear that's the difference. You know, we see those first ones that are angry. And by the way, they're Christians like that. We all have trouble with anger sometimes, don't we? But there are some people that are really angry all the time. And this is an indication of being in the flesh. One of the works of the flesh found in Galatians chapter 5 are idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. And if you and I have trouble getting angry under difficulties, and I've seen some men, all they have to do is be cut off in traffic, and they're furious. Amen? They're angry. They seem to be angry all the time. And their conversation, by the way, is like the disciples here. Carest thou not that we perish? You've probably heard these times. Get out of my way. Why are you cutting me off? They're talking to people from behind the wheel, and they're talking like this. They're accusing them. There's a condemnatory type of speaking that angry people have. Now, folks, if that's us, we need to realize we're in the flesh. God does, though, doesn't he? And your wife does, or your children do. I had a pastor like this, and he was angry all the time. It seemed like every sermon was an accusation. And I talked to a gentleman that was in that church with us 40 years later when we saw him at a funeral. And he said, yes, that brother, he admitted to me right before he died that he'd been angry all his life. But you know what? By then, the damage is already done. Amen? All these people that he had hurt with this anger. And some of his sermons from the pulpit were just tirades, just awful displays of anger. Folks, that's not a proper reaction, is it? That's not how we're to respond under duress. We don't want to be like these. But we also don't want to be like the second group. We perish. There's no prayer there. You know, this is the kind of Christian that just finds it hard to admit he's either afraid or that he has a problem. Just too much pride. Do you know, you don't have to come to an altar to get right. But if you don't come to an altar because you're too proud and you're afraid of what people might think, if you go to, then you need to go to the altar. Amen? Because God gives grace to the humble. It's a humbling thing to go to the altar. What are people saying? Well, it doesn't matter. Amen? This man cannot pray over his problems. He cannot ask for help. He can't even admit that he's just like these others, you know? In need. So we need to be like those, that last group. Lord, save us. We perish. It is not wrong to admit that we have need. By the way, I tend to think, do you know when people have faith, they have verses upon which they base that faith. These are Bible people. And there is a scripture in the Old Testament. These guys had the Old Testament. And in Psalm 107 and verse 23, it says, they that go down to the ship, to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. That would be these people. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, hanging on to those gunwales. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, or at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Then he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves are ever still. Isn't that exactly what we see happening in these passages? I wonder if this group of men didn't remember some Bible verse and say, you know what? I remember in this trouble, this verse, and we are definitely in this storm, tossed up and down, reeling to and fro. And if we'll just cry out to the Lord, he'll make it a calm. Let's go back and look at this again, by the way. Notice his response to these men. It's different for each one. And he was in the hinder part of his ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? Do you know many times the Lord answers us according to our request? In Psalm chapter 18, verse 26, it says, With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. God answered them roughly. They said, Carest thou not that we perish? And he said, How is it you have no faith? Now they had none. We're going to see that his response to the others were slightly different, but they had no faith. And I believe he is answering them forwardly, as we see in Psalm chapter 18. We see another example of this. Look with me in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And there came a leper beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst I am hitting the wrong ones. I needed to hit Mark chapter 9. My finger's not working too good. Let's see if this pen will do better. No, it won't. There we go. Mark chapter 9, verse 22. My apologies. And oftentimes it hath cast, this is that man who had a son that was beset by an evil spirit. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe. Notice how he answered him. If thou canst believe. Now, folks, we should never make our requests conditional upon whether God can. God can do anything. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And that was what this man was saying. If you can, well, of course he can, right? So our Lord turns it right back around on him and says, If you can believe, all things are possible. And what does he say? Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And God at that point, our Savior at that point, was able to do the great work based upon his faith. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, notice the difference, not if thou can't, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. So there is no problem with his faith in believing that God's able. It's just, is he willing? And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will. Be thou clean. Don't you just love that? If you will, you can do it. Please help us. And he says, I will. So let's never go to God asking if he can. Let's go to God asking if he will. And maybe he'll be very merciful to us. God can do great things. So why are you so fearful? Why is it you have no faith? But notice what he says to the folks in Luke chapter 8. Let's see if I can touch that right now. No, I did not. Verse 24. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? So this has the sense of, why aren't you using your faith? In other words, the others had no faith, but these were a kind of Christian that if they would just have, you know, thought about the promises of God, they would have responded differently under this. Where is your faith? And notice also with me in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, now verse 25. And his disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Now he recognizes they have faith, amen? I don't think he's upbraiding them at all. This is a gentle, what shall we say? The first is an accusation. Why is it you have no faith? The other is, where is your faith? And this one is, oh ye of little faith, why were you fearful? I can do all things. You know, if you have just a little bit of faith, you can move mountains, he said. Just as a grain of mustard seed. I believe this is why the storm stopped, by the way. The others accused him. The first ones accused him. The second ones didn't pray at all. And these people pray. They had a little bit of faith. They believed that God could change this situation. And God blessed based on what? A little bit of faith. Amen. God would have us have great faith, but he will respond to a little bit of faith. Notice also their response to what Jesus did. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 41, let's start in 40, and he saith unto them, Why are you so fearful? No, excuse me, I'm in the wrong one. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that is right. I am right. Okay, I'm sorry. Mark 40. And he saith unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Think of that. They feared exceedingly. Who? Him. This is like Jacob, after he's stolen the birthright and deceived his father. I don't know if you remember in Genesis, let me see if I can find it here real quick, in verse 28. It said, and Jacob waked out of his sleep. You remember the Lord appeared to him there and dropped down a ladder and an angel's going up and down. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. And he was afraid. God has just given him this wonderful visitation and promises, right? He said, I will be with you wherever you go. I will protect you wherever you go. And he's afraid? That should have been a wonderful comfort to his heart. He was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place? He was afraid of God, and not the fear of the Lord that bringeth wisdom and righteousness and is clean. This is an unwholesome fear of the God that was going to be protecting him. That's what we see in these this first group of men. They feared exceedingly, and what manner of man is this? And notice also, we'll go quickly here, in Luke 8, they said, verse 25, and he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wonder. They didn't fear exceedingly, but they were afraid with wonder, like, what is going on? But notice also the last ones in Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. And he saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled. No fear here. They marveled. And that word has the sense of rejoicing. It was like, this is just too wonderful. They rejoiced. They marveled, exceeding rejoicing. But they also said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? But the sense that we get in this is that they were thrilled at what they had just seen their Savior. They were not afraid. They did not fear exceedingly. They were not afraid with wonder. It was just marvel. God is so good. And all of this is based on how we respond in the storm. Heavenly Father, bless these people. Thank you for this wonderful book. Thank you for this wonderful lesson from these three groups of men in this same boat, in this same problem. And we see how they responded. Help us to have that little faith so that we can marvel at the many wonderful things you're able to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you.